Just to let y'all know that we will. I got plenty of candy, so after the service, if y'all all be nice, I'll let you have one piece, okay? And maybe you'll get three like Jesse did this morning. Who knows? Our next part of our service this morning is when we read the word of our Lord through that comes to us through the Bible, through the centuries that the Lord has been preparing this for us. And our today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. I will be reading the New Revised Standard Version this morning. Listen for the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store up my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up my grains and my goods. Oh, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, good morning and grace and peace to each and every one. Before I get started today, I don't know, this, you know, this is our sanctuary here. This is our safe place. This is our home. And if you've never been into a Presbyterian church before, and you might be listening on the radio for the first time, but here at the pulpit, we have a tapestry. We call it an Anapinion, and it is green. And green means go to me. And it also, being in the south here, you know, we got all the crops in the field, is also a time of harvesting as well. So remember, if you're at home, you don't have something green hanging around in your house, hang something green to give you the power to get up and to go and to search for other Christians and to make new friends through Christianity. So go is green and start your day with a... So that's just a little bit of insight about the Anapinion this morning, being green. Now, once again, my name is Willie Suggs, and I am a ruling elder, a qualified ruling elder with the Coastal Carolina Presbytery. And I am so, you just don't know how thankful I am to be able to be here and enjoy worshiping the Lord with you all here this morning. And I just want to thank God for leading me here today to this place of worship. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I've known about coming here for 2 weeks. Janie called me, so I've known pretty well. So I got about 79 pieces, sheets of paper, you know, that I've come up with information. Now, I mean, I do have that amount, but... I've kind of geared it down and to make it squeeze into our little bit of time that we have here together. So, and I'm so thankful that the radio people are here listening, and that and that they are able to enjoy worshiping with us. As I start this morning, I want to start out with a little line from Ecclesiastes. Vanities of vanities, says the teacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. You see, my bio here includes worshiping with the Presbyterian Coastal Carolina, and I've been to over 40 different churches leading, well, actually, to be straight up with you this morning, today makes you are my 46th church that I've been able to attend and lead worship at. And believe it or not, you know, several of them have called me back and I have returned. So it's just not one and done here. So I have had several call me back and ask me to come again. But what a day it is to be here, you know, the fifth Sunday of the month, in the middle of the summertime. Oh, and, you know, people don't understand it, but there's only a few fifth Sundays of the month, so it feels like I'm getting some extra batteries charged. My Holy Spirit, my Spirit of God is getting an extra renewal here in some way. I know that we got 52 Sundays, but thank y'all all for being here on this fifth Sunday as well. Now, I've also been a part-time pastor down at Sherwood, up in Sherwood Presbyterian Church in Fayetteville, and, you know, what they always say, once a pastor, always a pastor. You can't undo loving and trying to help folks, okay? And as I was telling Barbara earlier, I am a qualified ruling elder here with the Coastal Carolina Presbytery. And from my hometown to Wilmington and from New Bern to Charlotte, there's about 180 churches. So I just made it over 25% today. I'm tickled to death to be here and sharing that. But vanities is vanities. I am also currently a baseball official, and, you know, volleyball season's starting up, so I'm looking forward to being in the chair of calling those games again. Now, my freshman year there at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, I was a starting catcher with the Tar Heels baseball team. You see there, I started every game except the back end of two ends of a doubleheader. I was leadoff batter and batted 329 for my average there at Carolina. I could switch hit as well, which means I could bat left-handed or right-handed. Oh, the vanities, the vanities. Oh, though, what a friend that we have in Jesus to keep us in check it with all the things that we do and accumulate in our lives. Now, I've gotten a lot of experience behind the plate. Where are those offering plates at this morning? You know, being a catcher and an umpire and here in the pulpit. Get behind the plate, though, in the pulpit, announcing, leading worship. It is not an easy job to do. And the only reason why I'm getting into this is because back about 8 years ago when I was studying at the Presbytery, with the doctor, Reverend Dr. Ronald Crosley, and he was the former dean at the Duke University School of Divinity. And, you know, I told him I was an umpire at the time, you know, this about 8 years ago, and he says, I got something to tell you. He says, pastors and umpires are a lot alike. I said, well, do tell, Dr. Crosley. I'd like to know that. That really gets my interest. So anyway, he says, well, how pastors and umpires, you see, some pastors and umpires are just alike because what they see on the field is what they call. They see it, they call it. I make the call. I saw it, I made the call. And then there's these others that are watching. They go by the rule book. They make the call. He's safe or he's out. Number one, they see it, or number two, they go by the rules. But then there's this third kind of pastor. He doesn't make the call when he sees it or goes by the book. He kind of goes 1,001, 1,002. He prays with the Lord. he expects the Holy Spirit to give him the wisdom and the answers to be able to make the proper call. So there are three kind of umpires and three kind of preachers. Some that just call it like they see it. Some go right by the books. And just some of them are like the Lord. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was good. So, and that's how we all got started. So before you make any decisions, be sure to thank and pray to the Lord before you speak something out. And, you know, growing up, playing sports and being able to share this, I also think about something else that kind of goes from the Bible this morning that pastors and umpires and even little catchers share in common. I don't know if y'all can pick up on the story in the Bible and what book this comes from, but number one, and we as the congregation, we all should put on a belt of truth. And then, you know, for an umpire or catcher, it's a cup that they have for their truth. And then the next thing is a breastplate of righteousness. We have to be righteous. And for a catcher, you know, it's, or an umpire, it's a chest protector, because when things are being thrown at us, we can't always catch them, and we got to let something protect us. And that's kind of like going out in life. We know that our Lord God is in front of us. He is our shield. He is our shield as we go through life. And then the third thing is shoed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, an umpire shines his shoes up and gets them bright and shiny so that when he walks on the field, he knows business. And same thing with a pastor. We come in here with our shoes shined, ready to go to spread the word of peace. And just like each and every one of you, even if you got your tennis shoes on, you tie them tight and be ready to tell somebody about the Lord. And then, of course, is the helmet of salvation. And we all know what salvation is, being a Christian. But like in the world of baseball or umpiring, you know, it's a big old face mask with wire. Because some of the insults and the things that you see and you hear are just awful in life. And God gives us these protections to help to veer them off, whether it's in a physical world or a spiritual world. And then our most notable thing that we all have is the sword, or is the Bible, the Word of God. So umpires and catchers and pastors, you see, we all have a lot in common, and so do we all, because we all put on the cloak of the armor. Did y'all guess I was talking about the armor of God? Yep. We all wear the cloak of the armor of God when we say that Jesus lives inside of us, and when we believe him, he automatically puts his hedge of protection around us through the use of the armor of God. And you know, when you come to church, you got to remember that the number one rule for Jesus is, you know, number one is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But the number two is we got to love each other. So remember to love each other. Now, you see, I saw all the deeds that have been done under the sun, and I see it is all vanity, and it's just a chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14. But back to the heart of the matter today, we have two brothers that are upset with each other. They're having a problem. And you see, Jesus gives us this illustration about a rich man. You remember from the scripture reading. And Jesus insisted, instead of commenting on the problem, he doesn't take sides in this ordeal that morning. He knew that it was such a painful rift between those two brothers. But he knew what it was all about. It was all about greed. Now, since we are right here in the middle, smack dab in the middle of Scotland County, I call it Presbyterian headquarters with St. Andrews, but I'd like to tell you a story that I read about that my friend Ian McLaurin told me about a Scotchman. You know, my middle name is Willie Scott Suggs, so Willie the Scott Suggs. So I can relate to being Scottish and Scotchman and the ancestry there. But Ian told me this story about this Scotchman who continually worried about whether or not he had enough money that would last him the rest of his life. Now, he had worked hard and he didn't have anybody that he had to support other than himself. However, the Scotchman daily worried about how he might eventually just finally starve to death. After his death, the Scotchman died. They went to his house and they were rummaging through the house and they found these old cigar boxes. And in the cigar box, he had on the piece of paper, he had figured did some math. And he figured that how long that he could live on the money that he already possessed. And he was able to spend $500 a week without cutting into his income. But he was thinking, well, if I spent less than $500 a week, maybe 400, maybe that way I'll live a little longer. He's going to live a little longer by eating less. This man was richer at the time of his death than he had ever been in his whole entire life. He had more money in that cigar box than he had ever thought of, that in his wildest dreams that he would ever spend. You see, for him, he was spending less than his income. He had enough money to live absolutely, to be free from any kind of want, whole lot longer than he stood the chance of living in time. However, this poor old man, he continually wrenched himself to death worrying about how much it cost to live. You see, this kind of worry is useless, especially, you know, for us young people. To make the best out of provisions that we can for the future. But you see, anxiety and worry, those type of things, we shouldn't let destroy our days. We shouldn't worry about how this stuff affects the enjoyment of our day. However, part of our lectionary readings this week is goes into the book of Colossians, and I feel like Paul going into Colossae, going into Trinity, going into Laurinburg, going into Scotchman County, and just the plain fact of the matter is, folks, Paul's telling us not to live in an over an indulgent type of life. Paul tells us, don't be greedy. You see, for a greedy person is an idler. And he worships the things of this world. He puts them in front of God. You see, what Paul is telling us that we have to learn to do, we got to learn to say, no, no, no. No, thank you. I appreciate it. I've had enough. No. No, thank you. We all want more. I want some more. I want some more. I don't want one scoop of ice cream. I want three scoops of ice cream. We want more. You get a better deal at it. It got so bad around here with the pandemic that they had to put up signs that says, limit two, please. We want more, more, more. You know, folks, it's not the things that we eat, that we drink, or that we do that makes us sick. But the truth of the matter is, is that we don't know when it's time to step away. And Paul, the kinds of things that he was most concerned with us stepping away, not necessarily were there butterscotch candies, but from stuff very lined out in the scriptures, from sexual sins, from living an impure life, and just having those shameful desires of our heart, and worshiping those things in life that are of this planet, on this earth, that we think have more power and more glory and honor than our Lord and Jesus Christ does. That is called idol worshiping. These are some hard things, folks. I don't know, sometimes you may have been like me, perhaps, and got caught in that greediness trap of life, that we want more, more and more. But Paul tells us, when these things that come at us, if we'll ignore those deep desires of our heart and focus on the real things in life that are important. And these are simple words and simple things, but let them sink in. Paul says to get rid of anger. Oh, he pulled in front of me. Oh, he turned left. Oh, she shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm mad at her. Man, I tell you what, anger will get you out of shape in a hurry. It will make you sweat, make you make a funny face, and then the next thing you know, you get sick on the stomach. I don't know, but every time I get angry, I don't feel good afterwards. And you know, people say, oh, I hate this, I hate her, and man, you're hurting yourself, folks, when you bring hatred into your equation of your relationship with another. And you know the Word is the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and we talk words all the time, but you know, these little cuss words that we say, we hear them at work, we hear them at home. But they are affecting others. They affect you. Be careful with cussing. Cut it out. If you know somebody who's cussing, say, cut it out. And dirty language, dirty thoughts and dirty language, it's got to go, folks. And if you hear somebody say it needs to go, that's what Christ wants us to do. And this is a very difficult passage, because we all, at some point in time, we reach into that cookie jar, and we know we want one, but we get a handful. We know one's enough. But I would like to leave y'all today with just a few more interesting facts about how we can stop worrying about all this greed and destruction and everything, and how we can start living. Can I have just one more minute? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the number one thing, folks, you've got to be secure. You got to be insecure in the faith and knowing that Lord Jesus Christ, He lives inside of you, He dwells in you, He leads you, guides you, and directs you. It's in your DNA, folks. Just listen to Him and let Him lead, guide, and direct you. Hey, what's our number one go-to? Psalms 23. What does it start off with? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right there it is. And then the second thing, I want everybody to be able to learn to rest, but rest in knowing that all these storms in life that come along, all those that rain and the thunder and the lightning, and then on a personal level, the anxiety that we have, the confusion that we encompass. Come to church on Sunday, seventh day of the week, and rest and relax. Enjoy the sanctification of the sanctuary here. You don't have to be wearing your armor of God. We're able to take it off and wear our cloak of love amongst others so that we can share in our experiences to go out and to do great things for the Lord and for our neighbor. Come to church on Sundays. Come to church and rest. Come to church so that you can get off of your knees and stand up and rise with a calmer mind and, you know, some fresh courage in life as we worship and gaze and lift our arms and our hands saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being our friend. And, you know, we got to work on our worries. And we work on our worries by having a conversation with our Lord and Savior, Jesus, our invisible friend. You talk with him. And Jesus has got all kinds of friends out there. And there's this one friend I know. He's a doctor of psychology. And he was telling me the story about worrying. And I got to let y'all know this morning, that 40% of the people are worried about stuff, and it don't even happen. It never even existed. They just made it up. And then 30% of the people are worrying about stuff that's out of their control. They don't even have a decision in it. It's got something to do with someone else or something. There's someone else that makes that decision. Yet we worry. We worry. And then, you know, there's like 12% of us that, I feel so good. My health. We make up half. We make up 12% of us make up health issues as our problems. You know, and then this 10%, this last 10% of the, there's 100%, but, you know, 10 makes, this last makes the 90%. Okay. We worry, 10% of us worrying about our family, our friends, and our neighbors, our real close. But we're all intelligent enough to know that if they're our friends and our neighbors, that they have a job or ways or means, compressor that blows up air for their tire. And so we worry 10% of the time we're worrying about our friends, and we don't even need to be worried about them because they're all right. They got it under control. You got it under control, don't you? Don't take too much of an intelligence to be able to decide that. Folks, don't do it. Don't worry. Don't do it. Jesus didn't worry about it when he was asked to make the decision about those two brothers. Don't worry about it. Worry is not good. And when you're at home, just relax. Kick back. You know, I don't know if you got an easy chair, recliner. Kick back. Throw your feet up. Have your conversation with Jesus. Lord, I know you can do it. My nieces and nephews text, watch TV, play a video game, and are answering my questions all at the same time. They're multitasking. You can do it too. You can talk to Jesus and have a conversation with somebody else. I promise you. Just try. But the thing about it, the past. You ever seen the Panama Canal? You ever been to the Cape Fear River? They got seen these pictures of boats that come in. They pull them into a lock so that they can get from one level of the water to the other. Y'all know, you ever seen a lock before? Well, you know what happens when the boat pulls in the lot? The first thing that happens, they shut the door behind. You got to shut the door of your stuff that happened to you earlier in the day. And the only way that when you shut that door, you know what happens? The waters come in, the Holy Spirit starts flooding the room in your life and in your thoughts and your desires, and you're lifted up to a new direction of life and a new way to live. Rise up with the Holy Spirit. Shut the door on the past. Start your day, every day. One of my favorite things is These Days Devotionals. It's from the Presbytery. It goes along with a lectionary, something to read each and every morning when you get up, and it kind of gives you the flow of the Presbyterian Church. You know, the same Presbyterians in Korea and in Africa are going along with the same lectionary. Isn't it wonderful to be connected with all those millions and millions of people throughout the world? And then, of course, read your Bible. You got to read your Bible every morning. And my favorite, I got a dual version. I can read two different versions at the same time and compare them with each other. Isn't that pretty fun? I don't know, but that's fun to me. I get my enjoyment from that. Start your day with the Lord in prayer and devotion. Leave it all to God and your worries will trickle away. Keep your order of life and where it should be. Number one is Lord Jesus Christ. All our study and our work and achievements of life, you know, I got the diploma, I got the degree, I got the certificate from the food pantry. I mean, all of these things are great, wonderful things to hang on your refrigerator or on your trophy case or whatever, but don't put anything ahead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of your endeavors for your personal life. You see, because he has got the whole world in his hands, our friend Jesus definitely does. And then I just want to, one last thing. You know, those old bracelets that used to have WWD, what would Jesus do? You remember those? Have you seen one lately? I hadn't either, but I think about them. Because every day when I get up and I'm walking out into this world, I leave my front door and I get on the highway, I walk in to the convenience store, I go to the schoolhouse, wherever I go, I'm living a positive life with Christ. And I'm saying to myself, when that adversity or something comes up, I say, what would Jesus do? Preach like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, be a hero like Jesus. He faced all kinds of adversity as he was coming along, but remember, be strong like Jesus, and remember the cross is a positive sign. It's a positive thing for someone's life. Relax. Lord, help us relax. Lord, help us to stop worrying and start living. You see, we are faithful people who are all sacrificing our some type of immediate desire just to be here this morning, I'm sure, or at prayer time. We're just like Christ. We're sacrificing certain things in our life for the goodness of the kingdom of God. And this morning, I hope and pray that we'll all start living and stop worrying and believe in the Lord, our Father, and more than anything, I just quit playing, as my brother used to tell me. He's a disciple of the Lord, but I don't see this in the Bible anywhere, but he says, quit, Willie, quit playing the what-if game. Love life, love the Lord, live in the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about what's going on right now with your life. And my prayer for each and every one of us today is to slow down, have a conversation with Jesus, relax, stop worrying, and start living. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.